I've had people who have contacted me over on the page, on the website, who've said, you know, they've bottled it up for 30 years, who, you know, they've not spoken to anybody about it. And they've only just now turned around and said, well, actually, you know what it is? 30 years ago, me and my wife went through this. And then a similar story whereby the actual person who was telling me had just found out that week from his mother that she'd actually had a miscarriage when he was younger, you know, and she hasn't told him. And he's 56 years old now, you know, so it's kind of, you know, you're right in terms of the stigma that it hasn't, you know, that it hasn't been, that it isn't talked about. And I think one of the reasons why it's not talked about is because people don't know how to talk about it. I think that's the big thing.
Welcome to the show. I'm Joe Halton. And for the next hour or so, I'm going to expand your mind. On the Guild of Dad show, we unwrap weekly the incredible stories, skills, and expertise of the world's most captivating dads and experts, and I unpackage with them the topics that will captivate you. Now, if you are a new listener, welcome to the show. I hope you're enjoying what you hear. And if you are an existing listener, thank you very much for supporting the show on an ongoing basis. I really appreciate you getting behind what I'm doing, and this podcast has the potential to impact a large amount of men and dads, and also by extension their families and society as a whole. And that spurs me on, the fact that you guys are getting behind me. It keeps me motivated and inspired to forge ahead with what I'm doing with Guild of Dads and help as many dads I can through the conversations that I'm having. So I do appreciate that very much indeed. We have fascinating conversations with individuals like best-selling authors, entrepreneurs and ultra athletes, professors, anthropologists, and also ordinary dads like you doing some extraordinary and impactful things. We also speak to Sunday Times best-selling authors and also New York Times best-selling authors as well. Now, what is today's episode about? Today I'm talking about miscarriage. It happens to a lot of women every year. Thousands of women suffer from miscarriages, and it impacts a lot of couples and affects a lot of families as well. It's one of those things that's not often talked about until it comes up in conversation, and the first you'll often know that somebody has suffered a miscarriage or their wife has suffered a miscarriage will be when it does come up in conversation. But like I say, it's something that affects thousands of couples and families, and they go through the heartbreak of it every year, and often it's handled behind closed doors. Nobody knows about it. Nobody has any inclination that something has happened until someone actually says something, and often that can be many years down the line, and it takes its toll on everyone. But predominantly what I'm going to be talking about today is the impact that it has on dads. So what happens on the Guild of Dads podcast? I want to have conversations. I want to have really good conversations with men and dads and experts to transfer practical knowledge, insight and expertise that you can apply and improve to your physical health, mental health, relationships, career, and the way in which you show up as a role model to the next generation. The conversations I have are important because the world is shifting so fast right now, and getting clarity on this stuff means that you can make the impact you want to on the world. Today, I speak to dad and husband Chris Whitfield. He's the founder of a new organisation called Miscarriage for Men, which includes a forum and support group for dads whose partners or wives have gone through miscarriage. It's grown very quick in the last little while after he initially set it up, and I was keen to get him on to speak to me to really find out why he set up Miscarriage for Men and what he intends to do with it. I find out about his own experience, the support that is out there for men and dads right now, what men go through, and why it's not talked about and how we can change that. If you've ever wondered how some of my amazing guests get to where they are in life, those making a massive impact on the world, I can tell you that pretty much all of them follow a very deliberate plan or system of some kind, available to everyone just like you. This is exactly what I do too, and I'm revealing how you can implement a plan and system in your own life completely free in my ebook, The Dad Blueprint, which you can get over at guildofdads.com/dad. That's guildofdads.com/dad. And I would thoroughly suggest that if you're looking to improve yourself, you pause this podcast right now and go and grab a copy of that. It will really make an impact on your life. Incidentally, many of the people I interview on this show will be leveraging the power of similar systems to radically level up their lives, so you will be in amazing company. And now, to my conversation with Chris Whitfield. Chris, welcome to the Guild of Dads podcast.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Likewise. I'm really pleased to speak to you today because it was a kind of chance meeting that I find that occurred in the sense of me finding out about you and what you do. And I was on a dad's group and this someone shared a LinkedIn post and all of a sudden people were like, this looks great, what this guy's doing. And my instant reaction when I saw it was, well, hang on a minute, he's trying to get the word out about what he's doing. I've got a podcast. I need to link up with him and let's see whether we can make some magic happen. So this is how it all came about in the end. So I want to thank you for agreeing to come on and have a chat with me today.
No, of course. Thank you very much for inviting us. It's been surreal, to be honest. We never expected to get the sort of publicity that we've got. You know, being live for 3 weeks has been a challenge, to say the least. But thank you very much for inviting us. I'm looking forward to sharing more about what we do.
Definitely. So where did your story start? Because I know you've been on a little, this has all happened very, very quickly and very, very recently. Where did your sort of journey start in terms of starting off miscarriage for men and expanding it quickly into what it's become? What was your story, Chris?
So it started off back in February. Myself and my wife went through a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. My wife was 12 weeks pregnant at the time. What happened was she started getting some pains and, you know, common signs of miscarriage. And we kind of, you know, were a little bit aware of what was going on. Obviously, you know, the first thing you do is go on Google, don't you? And you search for stuff as soon as stuff goes wrong like that. And we were advised, you know, the normal stuff, don't panic, you know, it's regular, it's normal, you know, don't worry about it. 2 days later, she was still the same. And it spiraled from there. We ended up going to the hospital. Thing for us was, it was slightly different because at 9 weeks, we had paid for a private scan. And at 9 weeks, we seen, you know, the baby, we seen the heartbeat, you know, we knew things were looking good at that time. And then, you know, to get to 2 days before your 12-week scan to find out that, you know, your baby's no longer got a heartbeat, then it's the worst news you can expect. But the thing for us was, I think the thing that made it more difficult was when you're going through this in the midst of a pandemic, it's a crazy time for it to happen. My wife obviously had to go to the hospital by herself, had to go into the hospital by herself. I wasn't allowed to attend. And it's a strange one because you, had that been a week later at the same place, I would have actually been allowed to attend the scan in the same room. Mm. But then to be told that you can't be there for an emergency scan is bonkers in my view. But, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the NHS. You know, they're fantastic at what they've done. They deserve all the plaudits coming their way for the way they've dealt with the pandemic and stuff. But it was just crazy, you know. And when you get to that point where you've got to go through that yourself, and then she's got to come back and tell me what had happened, you know, that's the worst thing in the world. And, you know, we got told then, you know, not a case of don't worry about it, because we already knew what was happening. You know, we'd been at the 9 week scan, we'd seen that. We're now at 12 weeks and, you know, it's a different story. So we then had to wait 2 weeks, as you do. It's common law in the UK. And then 2 weeks, you know, you don't know what to do with yourself. You know, you end up in a bit of a black hole trying to work out, you know, what the hell's next. You know, we didn't know. And for me, it was a case of trying to find some sort of common ground where I could deal with people who had gone through the same experience that I'd gone through. You know, what should I expect next? And there's some great charities out there, you know, the likes of 4 Louis, the Miscarriage Association, Tommy's, they're all fantastic charities in what they do. But I wasn't looking for that sort of professional help. I was looking for more for a peer-to-peer network where I could discuss with guys who'd actually been in this scenario and actually had that lived-in experience. Because it's all good and well going to professionals, and, you know, I've got no problems with that. But sometimes the professional help isn't what you need. You actually need that lived-in experience. And while I was searching for this, I couldn't find anything that was along these lines. And since I put the LinkedIn post on originally, a few different things have popped up here and there. But for some reason, when you search in Google, this kind of thing seems to be hidden. It seems to be, you know, such a taboo around it that even Google doesn't want you to be able to find these kind of things. Mm. So I thought, right, okay, what can I do to change this, and how can I put my focus into something? And it really helped me from that point of view, because it gave me something else to focus on away from focusing on the grief. And I've never set up a website. You know, I load ships for a living. That's my day job. So quick Google video, how do you build a website? Right, okay, go on to Wix, do this. You know, and then, you know, the website was launched, and yeah, it's took off, you know. And it's weird because, you know, I want to say that it's took off magnificently, but at the same time, it's not a website that you want to take off magnificently. You know, I really wish that it was doing really badly, but yeah. That's the story of where we're at right now. So
yeah, it's an incredible journey, because the thing is sometimes you want stuff to take off, but not so fast that you can't keep up with how fast they're actually occurring, sort of thing. And it sounds like that you're almost like a victim of your own success, if that makes any sense at the moment.
Yeah, so. It was crazy. I mean, you know, I put the LinkedIn post on the night that we went live, because I already had quite a few connections on LinkedIn anyway. And I thought, you know what it is, if it helps one other person who is going through the same thing that we're going through, then, you know, then so be it. You know, and I put that post on, I went to bed the next morning, I woke up with 30,000 likes and something like 1.3 million views within like 2 days. It was just, you know, it was crazy. And now, you know, fast forward 3 weeks, here we are, you know, with 87,000 likes on the post and 3.1 million views of the actual post as well. You know, it's incomprehensible, really, when you think about it, as to how many people it's reached in such a short amount of time. Mm. And of course, in terms of driving traffic into the website, you know, that's generated nearly 100,000 views on the website and over 600 people joining up already to subscribe to it, to get feedback when people are posting on the forums and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, because you mentioned something just then, which I've kind of noticed as well, because I've not been through it with my wife, and so we've not ever experienced this, you see. But one thing I do know is how impacted Dad's experience has been during the pandemic in terms of being able to get involved, and like you said. But the other thing that resonated was, I have friends that I know whose wives have had miscarriages in the past, and I interviewed someone on the podcast a while back, and what's kind of strange is that no one really talks about it and until it kind of comes up in conversation. So typically, you know, you'll speak to some friends and they'll say, it's the anniversary of da 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 da, and you'll be like, oh, so what's that? Who's the anniversary? And then they start talking about it. And I was talking to someone else on the podcast, and he was referring to someone that had gone through it, and I think a friend's mum or whatever suddenly says, oh yeah, I had a miscarriage 30 years ago, sort of thing. And just like, hang on a minute, we didn't even know anything about this. And it's really peculiar how it's not something that's really talked about that much, particularly amongst men as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the big thing. You know, what you're saying there, I've had people who have contacted me over on the page, on the website, who said, you know, they've bottled it up for 30 years, who, you know, they've not spoken to anybody about it. And they've only just now turned around and said, well, actually, you know what it is, 30 years ago, me and my wife went through this. And then a similar story whereby the actual person who was telling me had just found out that week from his mother that she'd actually had a miscarriage when he was younger, you know, and she hasn't told him. And he's 56 years old now, you know, so it's kind of, you know, you're right in terms of the stigma that it hasn't, you know, that it hasn't been, that it isn't talked about. And I think one of the reasons why it's not talked about is because people don't know how to talk about it. I think that's the big thing. A lot of people, you know, for instance, when I went back to work, you know, people are going to come up to you and say, oh, look, I'm really sorry for your loss. And then that conversation then becomes awkward because there's, you know, there's nothing else to add to that. You know, it's just a case of, oh yeah, thanks. You know, and what I done was I didn't want people to come up and say that. So I told a few people who I'm close with at work, look, you know, tell people just to let us be normal as I am. no, you know, I appreciate the fact that they want to come up and say, I'm sorry for your loss, but, you know, while it does mean something, it doesn't at the same time, because there's no follow on from that. And I think people can be much better at this, but I think people need to start talking about it first in order to be able to have them difficult conversations. And I think that's why a lot of people tend to hold it back. Whereas on the other side of things, you've got the whole male stigma of it, whereby, you know, we're the strong, the dominant ones, you know, we have to be the strong person, we have to hold the family. And that's another reason why guys don't talk about it, because they think, you know, it makes them sound soft, or, you know, some sort of stigma attached to that, whereby, you know, they're not allowed to grieve because they're the male, they're not allowed to grieve, they have to be the strong one. And I think that's the other side of it as well. And that's what this platform was about, was trying to drag that out of people and actually have them talking about it and let them know that, you know, you can't talk openly about it. And you'll come to realize that there's a million other people out there who've gone through exactly the same kind of thing, but are probably in the same situation where they've bottled it up and wanted to speak to people, but just haven't had the right platform to do so.
Yeah. And it's fascinating, but also heartbreaking at the same time, in the sense that there are so many people that are clearly walking around with this, that have not spoken to anyone about it, or not vented at all. And you can see it on your forum. Some of the people, it's like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where they've just not been able to talk to anyone about it. And I think, you know, as much as there are criticisms around kind of social media and the internet and stuff, this is one of the strengths where guys, I think, with what I do and what a lot of other people that are in the kind of dad and man space, we're beginning to realize that men have lost their tribes. And when men begin to find their tribes again, it enables us to kind of speak about stuff that we wouldn't ordinarily speak about if we were down the pub or whatever. It's a sort of non-confrontational way of talking about things. And people are able to share their experiences and share what's worked for them and what hasn't worked for them, and what is helping them and what is comforting them and what isn't. And the thing is you can only discuss this stuff with someone that's been through it and has kind of walked the walk and can talk the talk, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that was one of the challenges that I faced, because when I put the LinkedIn post on, you know, like everything else on social media, you're always going to get comments that are going to come back saying, not sure this is the right thing to do. And there was one comment that resonated on LinkedIn that came through, which was a lady who commented on it saying, this shouldn't be done by you, it should be done by a professional therapist, you know, you could make things worse, et cetera, et cetera. And I just replied back to her and I says, look, I 100% agree with you that it should have been set up by a professional therapist. However, there's people who've commented, as you can see on the comments, who've held this back for 30 years because they haven't had a forum like this. And the other response to that was that it's all good and well having professional therapists and counsellors, but if you go to a professional therapist or a counsellor who hasn't actually lived in it, they're basically doing the same thing that I'm doing, and they're looking at a book. And, you know, Miscarriage for Men was never about being a professional platform. You know, it was just about getting a group of guys together who've been through the same experiences, or are currently going to or going through their experience, and having that lived in forum there where each other can learn from each other's experiences. And, you know, when I built the website originally, it was to help me. That's the only reason I done it. You know, it wasn't about helping other people at the start of it. It was just about helping myself, because I needed something to put my focus into. And then I thought, you know what it is? If this helps one other person, then maybe that one other person can go and help one other person, you know? And that was the focus behind it. And it was never about offering professional help or anything like that. It was just a case of, you know, we're a sympathetic ear. We've got the experience. We've been through it. You know, some of the guys on there have had 5-6 miscarriages. You know, I mean, it's horrific. And, you know, these guys who've done this through 5-6 miscarriages have turned around and said, I've never once spoken to anybody about it. You know, and you sit there and you think, how have you managed to do that and hold all this grief in for so long and not actually be able to express that to anybody, you know? And they're then saying, you know, it can cause marital problems and all this different kind of stuff, which of course it will do, because that grief is going to build up, and they've never had a chance to express that grief. And I'm seeing more and more of that on the forums as it comes through. You'll see, you tend to pick up quite quickly that there's a lot of stuff that resonated with each story, but it also resonates within yourself as well. And you can see, and you can go, actually, do you know what it is? I actually went through that, and I can relate to that because I've been there and done it. And everybody who's came onto the forum or who's actually sent direct messages through the platform have all said the same thing, that, you know, majority of it is, thank you very much for starting this platform. I've been crying out for something this. But it's not just guys who've joined the platform, it's women as well, because they're looking for answers to help their partners. You know, they can see that their partners are going through this grief, but they don't know how to talk about it and don't know how to express it. Now, our platform was all about pointing them in the right direction so we can give them the professional help through other channels. And since I put the post out on social media, the amount of therapists and counsellors who've came out and said, look, I'll offer me time to the guys, not a problem, you know, free of charge, don't want anything for it. I'll do live seminars through Zoom, you know, just let me know what you want me to do. And, you know, already that collection of people is coming there. And I think, you know, the people who put the bad comments on are the ones who are quick to judge without actually knowing the premise behind what you were trying to do. Mm. And, you know, it's just a case of brushing it off. But, you know, a softer version of myself might have said, actually, do you know what it is? Let's close the whole thing down and forget it. You know, yeah. which of course is not what I wanted. So,
yeah, it's interesting. There was a post I saw from somebody on my social media this week, and this is kind of digressing a bit, but he's a guy that does a massive amount of charity work, and he's paddled around the UK, and he had to stop doing what he was doing because of COVID when he was on the tip of Scotland, so sort of two thirds of the way around. And people have been, there've been a few articles in the media criticizing him. Okay. And it's interesting how people that are not going to do anything about these things are the first ones to criticize. But in actual fact, it takes a lot of balls to actually say, no, actually, I am actually going to do something about it. And it's very easy for people to stand by in the wings and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to criticize you because you're not a professional therapist, or you're not this, or you're not that. Well, in actual fact, Chris is doing a lot more than what anyone else is doing right now. And he's actually putting his money where his mouth is and actually doing it rather than just talking about doing it. So, you know, I've got to take my hat off to you over that, because not only are you doing it, but you're also doing it in a period of time, arguably, where you were also going through the grief and trauma of having it happened literally weeks ago. So, yeah. You know, I just don't get that mentality, to be honest with you. And I think you're right, just to completely ignore it and just carry on and do what you're doing sort of thing, which is great. And I think the difficulty, I think, is with this situation is that I think grief and bereavement is difficult, I think, in any scenario, but I think that the reason I think it's possibly stigmatized even more so is that, like, when I've experienced grief, people will often not know what to say to you. Like you said, they will walk on the other side of the road, or they might avoid you for a bit or whatever. But yeah, the fact that it's to do with an unborn child adds an extra dimension to that, I think, because it's such a difficult thing to really get your head around or put yourself in someone's position who's been through that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And, you know, and I fully agree that it's difficult. And that was one of the reasons why with the website, I allowed it to set it up so that they could join anonymously as well. Because for me, people who can post anonymously, they become somebody else. And just for that, you know, that brief 5 minutes where they're typing their story up, they become the third person, and they type it up in the words that they want to say, but actually can't express it from the mouth. And I think that was one of the big things, because, you know, there's a couple of posts on there that you'll see where the guys have wrote on and they've said, I never ever thought I would say this, but I've actually, you know, and then the story comes out, and the next thing you know, that story is, you know, 5-6 pages long with the full story of what they've gone through. And then they get to the end of it and they're like, thank you so much for allowing, it's lifted so much off my shoulders. We haven't actually done anything. They've done everything themselves, you know, but just the fact that they've been able to post it anonymously and nobody knows who they are. I can see their email address and stuff, but in the post itself, nobody can see who they are. So it is a case of the fact that they become somebody else and they don't feel that stigma there because nobody can actually see who they are. And, you know, that was the way that we wanted to continue. We will continue that way as well. Like I say earlier, we are in the process of looking at developing the website further, because, you know, I started off with a, you know, a basic Wix platform, basically. Never done it before. You know, like I say, I load ships for a living, so it's not a case of building websites and stuff like that. But you know, what's there right now is all right. But we, you know, we've seen that it's a platform that's needed. We know that, you know, we've seen that by within 3 weeks, the amount of feedback we've had and the amount of messages and stuff that we've had within them 3 weeks. So we now need to take that to the next step.
One of the things that I'd uncovered when I was researching this whole topic, miscarriage is generally in the first sort of 24-ish weeks, isn't it? So it's the first 6 months of pregnancy. And you mentioned earlier on in our conversation about the fact that you found out and then you had to kind of wait 2 weeks. Until I'd spoken to you this evening, I didn't even realize. In my mind, I thought that once you found out that you'd miscarried, then there was a procedure thereafter. I didn't realize that there was a stopgap of 2 weeks between finding out and actually the procedure taking place. That's got to be a difficult period to try and get through, because for obvious reasons, mum knows that the pregnancy is over, you know that the pregnancy is over, but you've not got that, I don't know whether closure is the right word, because it's not the right word, you've not got that saying goodbye bit, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And I think that was the challenge for us was, you know, like I say, because we'd had the private scan first, and then, you know, getting to the 12-week mark and them saying, yeah, you know, we can't find a heartbeat, and then saying, but it could be that your baby's measuring smaller, you know, so we need to leave it that 2 weeks just to make sure that, you know, but the fact that we'd already seen the baby with the heartbeat, you know, that was the difficult part. And I think, you know, you're completely right. You know, the emotion process for me obviously is completely different to what it is for my wife, because, you know, it's my wife who's going through it. You know, she's the one carrying the baby, you know, so that emotional state, there's two separate entities there. And my big thing was, you know, as I said in the post, in the LinkedIn post and stuff like that, the focus should be 100% on the woman. I fully appreciate that, and I fully agree with that 100%. But I think, because the reason this has been overlooked so much is because that's what we do. We automatically go into that robot state and we become, you know, the dominant male, and we want to make sure that the wife's all right. And, you know, and I went into that state. You know, I'm asking my wife every 2 seconds, are you okay? Do you want anything? Do you need this? Do you want that? You know, and I probably became overbearing at that point, because, you know, it's a case of that she needs to process her own emotions at the same time. And I'm constantly checking in, you know. And that was when I then was making sure she was all right. And then once she was asleep, then I'm going online to try and find these answers that I'm looking for. You know, so we're kind of processing it in two separate stages for me. Whereas, like you say, for my wife, it was just a case of that we now know for 2 weeks that we've got this, you know, emotional state that we're going to have to go through. And then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have to go through it all again, because we have to repeat the process as such. And that you know, there is no words to put into that. I think the later you get on in pregnancy, it changes slightly. So I think the 2 weeks part will go away, because once you start getting to 16 weeks plus, then, you know, then it's still, you know, and it's baffling that, you know, at 16 weeks, you know, you've got pretty much a fully formed baby at 16 weeks, that you still class that as a miscarriage, because it's, you know, it's crazy. But there's no words to really describe it, to be honest, because, you know, that 2 weeks is just a blur. You know, for me, it was a case of I couldn't concentrate on things. And I think that's when you kind of know that you're slipping into that black hole kind of space, where you think, right, I need to do something here, because, you know, this could be a slippery road here, and I need to pull myself out of it. And that was my intentions around building the website was, yeah, I can put my thoughts into that. And my thought process was completely on that. And what I done was, I took my laptop, I went and sat in a separate room from my wife, put my head down, and I just started working on it. And, you know, I kept on saying to my wife, oh, I'm doing something, but I don't want to show you until it's, you know, till it's finished, because I didn't know how she was going to react, and I didn't know, you know, what kind of feedback I was going to get from it. And then I done it, and I finished the website, and before I was about to publish it, I went, right, there you go, there's my laptop, this is what I've been working on for, you know, the last 10 days. you know, and she loved the website. You know, she thought it was a great idea. So, you know, it was nice to get that. And the good thing about it is that, you know, my wife's in a position now where she's asking, you know, how can I help with the website? You know, is there anything I can do? You know, not in terms of answering questions from people and, you know, replying on the forum and stuff, but certainly things like this where I'm being invited to join podcasts and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I've also got my 12-year-old daughter involved as well. So she's busy doing diary entries for us and stuff like that at the moment. So it's a bit of a family project at the moment.
It's a family affair, I say so.
Yeah,
so.
definitely. And that, you know, and that was one of the other hard things as well, is when you try to explain to a 12-year-old that their new baby brother or sister will not be joining them this year. You know, that was a difficult thing to process as well. Mm. But you know, she's 12. You know, she's going to be 13 in October, and you know, she's in high school, so she understands, and you know, she took it on board quite well. You know, and then I says to her, look, I says, do you want to get involved with the website? You know, earn yourself a little bit extra pocket money, and you know, you can help out doing diary entries and stuff. And eventually, you know, she was like, yeah, how much are you going to pay us? You know, that was the quick question that I got back. So. But, you know, it's nice to get her involved in it as well, because then, you know, not only does it show her a little bit of, you know, business admin side of stuff, but also, you know, it's quite a nice way, because, you know, this is our little legacy now, basically, yeah. From what's formed, from what has happened. So,
yeah. Well, the thing is, it's putting your energy in something positive from something that's happened, which has been a negative experience. And I think that one of the things that resonates and comes through time and time again, and I've covered this in the past with guys who have suffered from postnatal depression, which is a very recent thing coming off the back of particularly when their wives have had traumatic births. And there is this kind of depersonalization that happens when dad is kind of dealing with trauma. But also I think what occurs is that I think us guys have an innate desire to want to fix things and to put things right when they go wrong. And I think what is mind-blowing for any man or for any dad is when something happens, you know, you've got this innate drive to protect and provide for your family. But when you can't protect them, or when you can't fix stuff or put stuff right, or you can't rectify things, I think it's kind of very emasculating as a guy, because you want to be able to do that. You want to be able to fulfill that role. And I think that rips guys up inside when you can't do that, and when you can't take pain away, and you can't make things right. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that was the big thing for me. Like you say, you know, because you go into this dominant male mindset, like you say, you want to be able to repair something. And when something's out of your reach and you physically can't do anything, you feel useless. You know, I felt useless, because it was a case of this was happening, and you know, I can see my wife breaking her heart in front of us, and this physically, there's nothing you can do to make that situation better. That's the big thing. You know, and it's just a case of obviously being there for them, and you know, being there to comfort them as much as you can, because like you say, you know, you're in a no-win situation, basically, because there is physically nothing you can do to fix that scenario. And like you say earlier on, it is a case that we do go into that mindset that you protect the family, don't you? You build that bubble around it, and all of a sudden you can feel that bubble getting away from you, because there is nothing you can do.
Mm. When in terms of your other children, and you mentioned obviously your 12-year-old. And getting involved with the website and getting on board with being part of the team and stuff and that. How does it begin to kind of impact the rest of the family in terms of brothers and sisters and obviously you've got mum, but also kind of the wider family in terms of kind of other siblings, maybe even grandparents and stuff? What sort of ripple effect does it have, you know, from speaking to some of the other guys that have been in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge ripple effect that comes from it, because you know, as soon as you make that first announcement that you're pregnant and you're expecting baby, that is it. You know, that is your day one. You know, granted, you're probably, you know, 8-9 weeks down the line, but you know, that's your real day one, and that's the you know, that's the point where everybody gets excited. I mean, for me, my wife, it was, we like with fancy holidays, we like to go, you know, far afield and stuff like that. And it was, you know, it was never a case that we were, that children were on the cards. We'd never planned that. And then this happened, and straight away you kind of, you know, we looked at each other and kind of laughed and just went, what do we do now? You know, because, you know, this, you know, it wasn't a planned scenario. And, you know, we're planning, you know, next year will be our 10-year wedding anniversary, and we're planning, you know, a big trip away. We wanted to Thailand or somewhere like that. And of course, obviously, you know, that would have completely changed, you know, the scenario. So we sat there and looked at each other and went, what do we do now? Do we need to move house? Do we need a bigger car? You know, all these things start going through it. And then it's a case of, right, okay, at what point do we then tell the family, you know, that we're expecting? And, you know, it would have been mine and my wife's first child. My daughter's from a previous relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was an exciting time. So of course, you know, we were 7 weeks in, and we went, right, look, let's tell close family. We'll tell my mom and my stepdad, and we'll tell your mom and dad, and then we'll just go from there. And so we told them, and we said, look, we're going for a private scan in 2 weeks' time. Then we'll see how things are. By 9 weeks, things are starting to look a little bit different. We can see there's a heartbeat and stuff like that. And then we can maybe, you know, extend that bubble a little bit to, you know, close friends. And you get, you know, and that excitement comes. And of course, obviously, we've done all that, and you start planning. And then, of course, then this happens, and then you have to drop that bombshell. And I think that's one of the hardest things is when you then have to, you know, you've got all that excitement of telling people that you're pregnant, and then you've got the heartache of then having to tell people, well, actually, you know, it's not going to happen. And that's a really, really difficult thing, because, like you say, because there's so much stigma around a miscarriage, you know, and the loss of a child, the loss of a pregnancy, it's really difficult to tell people. So what I suggested was that we just found a nice picture, and we just put it on both our Facebooks. We told our close family first that it had happened. And, you know, obviously they're visibly upset, you know, would be grandmas and granddads, you know, are no longer going to be. And then I just says, look, why don't we find a nice picture? And we'll just put it on with Facebook with a message saying, look, we were pregnant, but unfortunately, you know, we've miscarried, and this is what happened. So we put that on, you know, on the feet. And we've got, you know, we've got a fantastic support network. You know, we've got some very, very close friends. My two best friends are there at my beck and call. If I rang them 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, they'd pick the phone up. It's not a problem. But not everybody's got that, you know. And I think that's one of the other issues that we face, is the fact that, you know, going back to the whole stigma, and the reasons why people don't talk about it is because, you know, not everybody's got that, and not everybody's got that sort of relationship where they can openly say, look, guys, you know, it is me and my wife's had a miscarriage. And then you get that awkward silence, and it's like, oh, well, I'm sorry for your loss. And then nobody knows what to say, you know, so you kind of quickly move on, and then nothing else is said about it. But it does, you know, it does affect, you know, other members of family 100%, because, you know, some of the guys who've reached out on the platforms, you know, they're saying, well, you know, what about grandparents and all this type of stuff? And I said, you know, miscarriage for men, it's not, you know, it's non-descriptive, you know, it doesn't have to just be, you know, fathers, it can be, you know, brothers, it can be anything, you know. And hence the reason why I've not limited the only guys being able to join the website, because, you know, there is women who are coming on there who are looking for advice to help their partners through this as well. You know, and that was the thing. And for me, you know, male, female, same-sex marriages, it doesn't make a difference for me. Anybody can join the website. I'm really not bothered. I just want to be there to help people. That's all I want, you know. And if I can help one other person, and they can help one other person, you know, that'll make the world a better place moving forward. That's what I want. So
I'm going to jump in here very quickly. If you have listened for any period of time, you will know that I place a massive value in having a group of other men around you to elevate what you think is possible for yourself. I want to tell you about the exclusive brotherhood I've put together called the Dad Circle, which is a group of dads committed to improving themselves in a number of areas in order to become the men and dads they always wanted to be. Not just this, but hardwired into the fabric of this brotherhood are a number of features, including weekly Zoom calls, monthly topics, challenges and assignments, together with a growing library of resources, fitness and mental challenges. You'll get just the accountability that you're looking for when you're surrounded by a group of other men looking to level up and go on a journey in exactly the same way. If this resonates with you and you would like to find out more, head on over to www.thedadscircle.com/join. That's thedadscircle.com/join. Yeah. And the thing is as well is that I think that to speak to that point you just made, the other thing is people grieve in different paces as well. You know, there is, you know, some people talk about the grief cycle being different stages and stuff, but some people grieve in a different way to, so one spouse might grieve in a different way to their husband or wife, and they might grieve in a different pace as well. So it may well be that one is kind of a lot more further progressed in a shorter space of time, whereas the other one's still struggling some time after. So you've got these different paces at which people grieve as well to sort of unpackage. And I think that is why what you're doing is kind of quite strong. And you've got, I would imagine as well, in certain cultures, I don't know how many different people you'll have coming worldwide onto your website, but you've also probably got cultural differences as well occurring in different countries in terms of, you know, how people are able to speak about it in different cultures and religions and how it's looked at. And also, apart from anything else, people were, the natural thing to think is there something wrong with me? And this goes for husband and wife, mum and dad, isn't it? You know, what have I done? Although we know instinctively that's just silly, that's got to be a thing, isn't it?
Oh, and it absolutely is. And you see that about people who are coming on the page, you know, who are writing stuff on there, and they're saying, you know, the first instinct is the mother thinks, oh my God, what have I done wrong? You know, have I eaten something wrong? You know, have I done this? Have I done that? You know, and it's never about that. You know, but that's the first instinct. Mm. Straight away, they start blaming themselves. And like you say, that goes for both, you know, both male and female. They both start thinking the same thing. It's crazy because some of the comments that I see on there as well from, you know, guys who've opened up and spoke to people, and, you know, goes back to saying what we were saying before in terms of people not knowing what to say. You know, I had one guy who contacted me, him and his partner, they lost their baby at 6 weeks. And one of their closest friends turned around and went, yeah, but it's not really a baby by then anyway, is it? And it's like, oh, you know, come on. You know, whether it's day one or you're in week 30, it doesn't make a difference. You know, the parents to be are excited. They're looking forward to it, you know, and I think that's one of the other things that needs to be looked at in terms of how people can progress forward with speech when they're talking to people around this is, you know, oh, well, you can always try again. At least you can get pregnant, you know, all this type of stuff. Mm. It's, you know, they probably mean it in the best way. But when, you know, when people are grieving, that's, you know, it's not the sort of thing that they want to hear.
Yeah, and the thing is as well is I think that it depends on where you fall, also where you fall on that kind of whole, there's so many different views about post-conception and when they have awareness and when they're a little human being and all these kind of different things, but that kind of detracts from the fact that as soon as you find out, you're visualizing a life in your head that's going to be occurring in the future. And any dad knows this, that you go to bed, you know, particularly in those first few weeks, you go to bed and all you can think about, you're consumed by the fact that you're going to have another little life coming into this world. And you're thinking about pushchairs, like you say, you're thinking about cars, you're thinking about whether your house is going to be big enough, you're thinking about the first time you take them to the swimming pool. There's all these, you're visualizing the life that you're going to have with them. So when this happens, you're not just grieving the loss, but also you're grieving the life that you had planned for in your head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a case, like you say, you know, straight away from day one of them, you know, of them lines appearing on a pregnancy test, that's it. You know, your mind, like you say, your mind goes into overdrive, you know, because all of them, that thought process, you know, once you've actually gone through it, because like I say, we done ours and me and my wife kind of looked at each other and just burst out laughing and just like, okay, what do we do now, you know? But you are, because straight away then you know, you go into that mindset of, right, okay, what do we need to do now? You know, what do we need to buy, you know, writing lists and all this kind of stuff. And they're thinking, yeah, okay, you know, do you have to take a second mortgage out on this to, you know, to continue and things like that. And it's just, yeah, it is. And like you say, because of the way that it's been thought of in years gone by, nobody ever does training on this kind of stuff. One of the good things that has come out of this is I've had quite a few like HR directors and stuff, contactors, who said, you know what it is, we're now going to implement miscarriage actually into our HR manuals, and we're going to look at training processes for managers in order for them to be able to converse with the staff, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And that's phenomenal, you know, for something like that to come out of something that we started so small, you know. And these are big companies who are coming out and say that. And then the recent news that just came out from New Zealand saying that they're now going to do parental rights for miscarriage now, whereby they will be given paid leave to be able to grieve rather than actually having to go into work and ask for time off. One good thing I will say about my employers is they were fantastic. You know, I rang my boss and said, look, you know, this is what's happening, I need some time off. And he went, yeah, no problem at all, just let us know when you'll be back. You know, and that was really good, because some of the horror stories that I've heard from people who've wrote into the page, you know, it's disgusting, really. You know, but the fact that there's only two countries in the world who currently offer, you know, a miscarriage package when you need to have time off work, is disgusting, really. You know, it should be standard law across all countries, because and that should go for both the mother and the father. Because you know, New Zealand are leading the way with this at the moment, especially with their announcement last week. You know, and you'll see that it's been plastered everywhere. You know, on every social media page that you go on, you know, all over LinkedIn, the amount of shares that this has got from Ginny Anderson's announcement is huge. You know, and hopefully other countries will soon follow suit with that. So,
Yeah, sounds like there's work to do on that, but I think it's the same as a paternity leave, isn't it? That's taken a while for that kind of slow ebb to kind of kick in. To the point that we're at now, where paternity leave is a lot better for guys than what it was before, and it was literally like, oh, you got a week off and that's it, and then you're back to work, sort of thing. So,
yeah,
I think these things are gradually beginning to kind of sort of level up. But again, it's again these societal attitudes. We talk to your point about the guy that said, oh, don't worry, you can have another baby, sort of thing. It's breaking down those kind of societal attitudes to where people would just think, you know, it's something that you're just gonna get over, just like that sort of thing. In terms of the kind of some of the stories that I've actually seen on your website, one of the things that kind of I found most shocking is where couples have had this on a kind of multiple miscarriages, one after the other, sort of thing, and the real impact and effect that has on a relationship. I don't even, words almost escape me on it, because I just can't imagine being in that situation. But how do you get through something like that, Chris? I can't put it into words.
No, it is really, you know, it's a really difficult scenario to be put in. You know, I mean, you know, me and my wife, we've had one miscarriage, you know. I think the hardest part for that would be, is you kind of go into a different mindset, because I know for a fact that if and when my wife falls pregnant again, it's probably going to be difficult to enjoy the pregnancy, because you're going to be, you know, every single, oh God, I've hurt me back, or, you know, everything like that, you're going to be of that mindset that something's going wrong. And I think that's where the relationship pressures will come, because, you know, it is going to be one of them. I mean, you know, like you say, you've seen some of the guys on there who says, you know, we've had five miscarriages time and time again, and this has happened. And then eventually on the sixth try, they've actually managed to have a rainbow baby, you know. And it's, I'm the same as you in that respect, in terms of I can't imagine what that must be like. For me, I think it would be difficult, you know, to continue down that route and to continue trying and trying again if I was going to face that inevitable heartbreak every single time. because I think you can only put so much pressure on yourself. Full respect to them when they're putting these stories on in terms of how many times they've gone through it. And it's lovely to hear that at the end of all the traumatic experiences that they've been through, they've eventually got the child that they've so desperately craved. But it must be so difficult to be put in that position. Mm-hmm. Because at some point you have to make the decision, you know, do we continue doing this? You know, I think that's the hard question. And I think, you know, that kind of puts a different spin on things, because when you then have one partner who, yes, I do want to continue, and you have one partner who then says, yeah, but I don't, because, you know, I've suffered this inevitable heartbreak now four times over, and I don't think I've got any more to give to be able to do that. You know, that's where you then end up in the position where you then have problems with, you know, marital status and stuff like that, because that person's so desperately craving the baby that they want, whereas one person is at the other side saying, well, actually, you know, I don't think we can try anymore because I just can't physically take the heartbreak anymore. And again, you know, these are guys who, you know, they've gone through it five, six times, but they've bottled this up for 35, 40 years and not actually told anybody, you know. And I mean, that's shocking, you know, the fact that they've had to do that. You know, we know we're now here in 2021, and we don't have the support out there that we need right now. You know, so you can only imagine what it must have been like back in the late 80s and the early 90s. You know, these guys are having to go through this with nothing. You know, we don't have internet and stuff like that to be able to go and search this kind of stuff up. And it was probably just a case that, you know, you're a man, get on with it. You know, and he'll go and meet the guys down a pub for a beer or whatever. And I done an interview with the Telegraph 2 weeks ago, and I was talking about this, and I'd says, you know, the lady who was interviewing me, it says, you know, you're from Newcastle, you're from the northeast, you know, minor territory, and they've got, you know, all this, you know, we are real men kind of stigma attached, you know. And I says, you know, and it's bizarre because, you know, I was brought up by my stepdad, and I lived with my granddad for a little while, and, you know, I tried to think back, and I don't think I ever seen them cry, ever, you know. And I've seen my granddad cry maybe once at me, you know, at my nana's funeral, and that was, you know, that was probably the only time in, you know, 60 odd years that I ever seen him cry. And, you know, and it's amazing when you think back that these sort of people were brought up with that mentality, and they've just, you know, had to get on with it, basically. And now we've got the resource to be able to do this, you know, and build a platform like we have, to be able to have people to express their feelings. Now you see the sort of stuff that's coming out in terms of, oh, you know, me and my family, we've been through six miscarriages, and you're just like, wow, it's mind blown.
Yeah. And I think, and like you say, it's the impact it has on the relationship as well, because fundamentally when mum and dad first get together, whether you're married or not, it's about your relationship, and then your kids are like an extension of that kind of relationship. But I think the difficulty, I think, is when your kids become your kids, or your desire to have kids almost overshadows the actual relationship that you've got with each other. And to the point that, in actual fact, your own relationship kind of gets almost forgotten in this desire to have children, which is understandable. It's absolutely understandable, but that obviously can, over time, that can have an effect on people, and also, like you say, if you've not ever spoken to anyone about it, and this goes for men and women, then that is going to have an effect on your relationship, because there is that trauma sitting there which has kind of never been resolved. And we know that trauma, unresolved trauma, can really have a negative effect in terms of kind of self-medication, coping strategies, drinking too much, smoking too much, eating too much, and plus other stuff worse than that. So yeah, there is a knock-on effect of not dealing with stuff that needs to be dealt with in terms of men's mental health and women's mental health.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is a case that you end up in this vicious circle, because you're trying to please yourself and your partner with doing, you know, the idea of, you know, having a family and this kind of stuff. But the longer that doesn't happen, or the more pressures you have on that in terms of miscarriage and stuff like that, that's where you then end up in this cycle where, of, right, okay, you know, I've tried three times now and, you know, it hasn't happened. and you start to get that, you know, that little bit of clouded judgment, and your anxiety starts coming out, and then, you know, and that further adds to more problems. And that's where, you know, people are, you know, they're scared to talk about it. And you know, that's the big thing. And you know, we've seen it, you know, with numerous celebrities over the last couple of years, you know, in terms of who've taken their life because of mental health. And you know, and it's sad when you think, you know, we can send, you know, rocket ships up to the moon with crystal clear pictures, yet we kind of have people sitting around a table actually talking about the feelings and getting off their chest what they actually need. You know, and that's the frightening thing. And it all comes back to that whole, having that whole stigma, you know, about being able to talk about things. You know, for me, I'm quite happy to talk about things. I'm quite an open guy, and you know, but again, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't in my situation who are, you know, very reserved, very introvert, who wouldn't be comfortable sharing their feelings. And that was the whole point, like I said before, about the, you know, being able to be anonymous when you're in the, you know, in the forum. And that will be likewise as well, because, you know, we've got some big plans moving forward in terms of what we want to do. You know, we want to have, you know, some, you know, community Zoom meetings in terms of being able to come onto the platform and, you know, have a counselor speak and talk about, you know, grief therapy and all this type of stuff. And they will be able to do that anonymously, so they can join the chat room for the Zoom conference, but they'll be able to do it anonymously, so it won't show their name, and they don't have to talk if they don't want to. They can sit there and they can just listen. They don't have to get involved. Of course, it'd be lovely if they do get involved, but if they don't want to get involved and they just want to hear and listen to other people's stories about that, then, you know, then so be it. And you know, that's probably the next step for us, is being able to put some of these support meetings together. And then, you know, post COVID, you know, let's see what happens, because, you know, I'd love to be able to get more people involved. I've got a lot of people who do want to get involved in the project. You know, and if we can make this, you know, countrywide and have a few different outreaches here, there and everywhere, then, you know, so be it. It'd be a fantastic thing to do. So
Yeah, it's definitely, so there is a power in it. And I think the thing is I always talk about, in terms of guys, you know, I find it with some of the people that follow Guild of Dads as well. Often people will be watching what you're doing, even if they're not getting involved, even if they're not commenting or whatever. And then all of a sudden, something you'll say, someone will just say, oh, that really resonates with me, what you're saying. And I can totally relate to what you're saying. And it's kind of, it's really funny with guys. This is a serious subject, but with guys, quite often what you'll find is that it's kind of like, you know, when you go to a family disco and everyone's, the girls are dancing around their handbag first off, sort of thing, and then the guys are standing at the bar and they're having a few beers and whatever. And they're like, I'm not going to dance. And I've talked about this before. Yeah. And then after a certain time at night, they've got their ties around their head, sort of thing, and jackets off, you know, break dancing on the middle of the dance floor. But it takes a little bit of time for them to get their confidence up to just let loose. And I think that's a perfect analogy for how guys look at, you know, expressing themselves and talking about difficult subjects and that. They'll often sit in the sidelines for a little while and whatever, and then it'll just reach a point where, right, I'm going to get stuck in now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And it's a great analogy, that one as well, because you're right, you know, it's just about drawing that little bit out of them, a little bit at a time, and then all of a sudden, bam, you'll get the whole story, and then they'll go, wow, do you know what it is? You haven't actually done anything, but I actually feel better from the fact that I've actually just been able to get that off my chest and be able to say what I've been wanting to say for 20 years. You know, and yeah, it's when I see that on the forum and I see people commenting on it, you know, there's two different feelings there for us. For one of them, you know, it's heartbreak, because I see guys who are going through, you know, 3-4 miscarriages and that type of stuff, and that's heartbreaking to hear that. But on the other side, there's a little bit of pride there as well, because I'm so grateful that they've actually, you know, broken that stigma and actually then turned around and said, actually, you know what it is, I'm going to share my story with you. And then all of a sudden you've got a post that is now, you know, 30 paragraphs long, you know, and you sit there and you read through the whole lot and you're just like, wow, you know, like what a roller coaster of emotions you must have been through to get that, you know. And I always start the replies off with the same thing. And I, you know, the first thing for me is always about, you know, expressing condolences to the person writing it, because, you know, it might not be what they want to hear, but at the same time, you know, it is a genuine condolences from me, because I've been there and I've been through it, you know. And when you read the stories, the amount of pressure that they must have been under just writing the story that they've put down, because, you know, you want to talk about it, and then you start writing about it, and as you start writing about it, all them thoughts start coming back, and you're kind of reliving your story back over again as you're writing it. And, you know, and the guys have said that at the same time, where they've said, you know, what I've put down on paper is, you know, minute by minute, basically what I've been through, and I've just relived it all over in my head, but it's lifted that cloud off us, because I've been wanting to say it for so long, but I didn't know who to say it to.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said before, you know, we might not be the right people to say it to, but we've been through it, and we've got so many different people on the platform now who have been through it. And, you know, every story starts the same way, you know, with the issues that they've had, and it all ultimately ends in the same sadness as well, you know. But we've all been through a similar scenario, and it might be that there's just that one question that's popped into there at the end: guys, what would you do? You know, and that's not them asking for professional advice. That's asking advice from somebody who's lived in it. You know, what would you do? And it's a case of somebody might have already been through that, you know, so they can turn around and say, well, actually, do you know what I've done? I put my headphones in, I went out for a run, and then I came back and I sat down with my wife and I went, this is what I'm feeling at the moment. You know, and certain little things like that will help. And as I've said numerous times before, and on numerous posts that I've commented on and stuff like that, not everybody wants professional help. You know, I certainly didn't want professional help. I wanted to be able to talk to a group of guys who'd been in the same scenario as I had. And, you know, like I say, you know, I've got a great support network. I could have contacted my friends, but I didn't feel like I wanted to burden them with it. You know, what I wanted to do was I wanted to talk to guys, because these guys who I wanted to speak to have been through it, and they'll be the ones to point me in the right direction. And even if that's just pointing me to a website to say, oh, well, you know, I found this really helpful, then that for me would be a great thing. And that's why on the website, you know, I've shared some fantastic links to, you know, For Louis, Tommy's Miscarriage Association and stuff like that. And the big thing for me was, you know, I'm keen to collaborate with so many different people, because for me, you can never get enough help. There could be a million Facebook groups the same as mine, and everybody will be doing something different. And all it takes is that one share. And if we can share each other's groups, you know, somebody who's going through a miscarriage at the moment might also need help for anxiety, or, you know, for stress or anything, you know. And that's not what our area is about, but I know a group who do help you in that. So yeah, then you point them in that direction. And yeah, that's the kind of thing that I wanted. So
yeah, well, it's equipping guys with the school with the tools and the tools in the information. And I think that when you can say, oh, actually, this is where you go for this piece of information, this might help you, that's kind of, I think that's, there's a power in that. And, you know, we mentioned tribes at the beginning, you know, hundreds of years ago, guys would have sat down around a campfire, and you were only as strong as the weakest member of your tribe. So it was within your, in your interest and within everyone's interest to share information, share what was working. And thousands of years ago, that may have been basic information about how to skin an animal or catch an animal. But yeah, but it's exactly the same principle of sharing what you know in order to help someone else. And then they share that information with someone else in order to help someone else. And again, it's this ripple effect we talked about, that once you begin to kind of, this information begins to percolate through, all of a sudden it spreads far and wide, and all of a sudden a guy who had no idea how to deal with it, he has got a bit more information which helps him a little bit, and then he finds what works and what doesn't work and stuff. And this is what it's kind of all about. And I think the thing is I don't think any guys like to see another. I think probably the most painful thing for a man, next to seeing his family in pain, is seeing another guy in pain. And
yes,
and having, but also the most kind of, the thing that exhibits the most humility is the ability to actually say, I can help that guy by giving him some information about what I know that is going to get him out of this funk just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's just a very powerful thing, really.
Yeah, totally agree.
Chris, it's been a fascinating conversation, finding out about your story and finding out about the journey that you've been on and the work that, you know, and how quick it's come about and how quickly you're having an impact is just incredible. And so, you know, I have to take my hat off to you, sir, and doing it off the back of something that's happened literally weeks ago is even more kind of impressive. So you are definitely a man that is making a positive impact on the world by far.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
What is the best way for people to find out about what you're doing and link up with you on social media or your website or whatever? The floor is now open to you, sir, to plug what you're doing as much as you want.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate those kind words anyway. We've got some big plans. I keep referring to we, but it's still just me at the moment. I'm still just a one-man band at the minute. But, like I said before, I've got some big contacts. I've got some big calls this week in terms of getting people involved. And we've got some big ideas moving forward. You know, we want to do some online community outreach. We want to do some, post-COVID, we want to go out and do some community outreaches. And, we're happy to do talks with companies and stuff like that in terms of, it's a common misconception that miscarriage is overlooked in the workplace. You know, nobody knows how to talk about it. You know, we're not, as I say, keep saying, we're not professionals, you know, but you can come to our website, miscarriageformen.com. We've got the forum on there where you can leave your story. We have a live chat function there as well, which comes direct to myself. So, you know, if you need some advice, you can reach out on the live chat. There's some big stuff going to happen with that because I have people in six different countries who want to get involved. The way that it works is that moving forward, that should become a 24-hour platform. So if you need some urgent advice or, you know, you just want a shoulder to cry on, you'll be able to reach us 24 hours a day going forward. That should be ready in the next couple of weeks. And we're busy redeveloping the website to make it a little bit more smoother, a little bit more neater. And you can find us over on Instagram and also on Twitter. At Instagram, it's Miscarriage for Men. On Twitter, it's Miscarriage for Men, but the 4 is a number 4 because it wouldn't accept F-O-R. So, we're live on all the platforms, and we have a private group now on Facebook as well, which is Miscarriage for Men. You can find us over there. You'll be able to see the little branded label, so you can see that. And then we'll take it from there. All the updates that we're doing and the new stuff that's due to come will be posted on the social media platforms as well. Watch this space. We've got some, you know, exciting stuff. And, you know, I keep saying the same thing. You know, I really hope that nobody has to use our website, but if you do, then we're there for you.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to ask you one last question, Chris, and I don't prime any of my guests for this. What is it in life that gives you meaning?
For me, it's family. That's the key thing. It's a funny thing because, you know, everybody uses the same paraphrase. You know, you work to live. That's what you work for. For me, one big thing that I've learned this year was the lockdowns. When the first lockdown came, I couldn't load ships, so I was placed on furlough. So I had 14 weeks at home. And during that time, my daughter was off school. Normally my daughter only comes to my house on a weekend, but during that time I had her for 7 whole weeks. So it was brilliant, you know, and that's time I'll never get again. You know, that for me was phenomenal. And it really opened my eyes to things, to, you know, the time that I should spend with my family. That was the big thing for me. And that has to be the key motivator, because at the end of the day, if my family are happy, I'm a happy guy. That's it for me. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, sir. And like I say, whatever we can do to support what you're doing and get the word out, I'm more than happy to do so and collaborate with you, because I think what you're doing is fantastic. And you deserve every success in what you're doing, because it has the potential to impact so many lives, both directly and indirectly. So I appreciate the work you're doing, Chris. And with that in mind, thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's been all mine. I'm very much looking forward to the Gilded Dads working with you going forward. Definitely something that I'm more than happy to do. Let's do it.
All right, excellent. Mind how you go, Chris.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Take care, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
A massive thanks to Chris for joining me today. If you want to find out more about him, the best way to do so is to click on miscarriageformen.com. That's miscarriageformen.com. On there, there is a forum that you can join for free. And if you want to share your story or get involved, like Chris says, you can post anonymously if you don't feel confident in giving over your name or anything like that. You can also link up with him on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. He has a Facebook group as well. So there's a ton of stuff there that you can get involved with. And he's going to be expanding the different services and things that he can offer you, like he mentioned in our conversation, in the next little while. One thing that I want to talk about in terms of today's episode, and what kind of shocked me the most, really, in terms of Chris's story, is speed. The sheer speed at which he was able to kind of take what was kind of quite a negative experience for him and his wife and actually turn it into a positive. And let's understand this. It was February, I think, when this actually happened to his wife. And so this has been a very quick thing that he's been able to set up and really gain traction on very fast. But it underlines that there is a need for this, the fact that it has had such a large impact so quickly. It shows that there is a need for this, and there's obviously a lack out there of support for men and dads going through the miscarriage process. One of my key takeaways on the conversation today was how once men and dads are given the correct place and forum in which to open up about their experiences or stuff that they've gone through in life, this could be to do with miscarriage or anything, then it really does enable us to share what we've been going through. And also it lifts a lot of that weight and pressure that there is around trying to hold things together ourselves. We realise that we can rely on a tribe of people around us and a group and a brotherhood and our fellow men to really share experiences, and also once they're shared, they become a lot less heavy to deal with. There's another thing that I took away from our conversation today, that also we think about kind of miscarriage as actually just affecting women, because predominantly, you know, well, it is women that miscarriage, that they go through, because they are the ones that are carrying the baby. But I think that what's been kind of misunderstood and maybe not appreciated quite so much is the impact it has on the whole family, because it is ultimately a grief and bereavement experience that mum and dad and also brothers and sisters are going through. Because from the moment you realise you're going to have a new baby coming along, you're preparing and visualising for that. And we discuss that in today's conversation, and the fact that the impact of it, if not discussed and maybe some therapy or help sought, if it's not addressed, it has a knock-on effect. That mental health impact on mum and dad has a knock-on effect to both their relationship and the family as a whole going forward. So I think there is a massive amount of strength and value in men helping other men and dads get through this. And there's also, Chris and I discussed, you know, sometimes the internet is criticized for various different things, but I think this is one example where the internet really is a very powerful thing to be able to bring and unite people together, and dads together from not just the UK, but from all over the world, in order to discuss stuff like this. Chris is an excellent example of the infinite capacity we all have and have within us to do and create something amazing out of kind of quite a painful experience. So I'm really grateful for Chris for sharing it with us. And obviously, like I said in my conversation, I hope to do as much as I can to support him in making Miscarriage for Men a success. There's also a video of this interview over on the Guild of Dads YouTube channel, and you can link up with me over on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook using the handle @GuildofDads. I'm teaching you how to follow a simple system and plan, just like many of my guests, in order to transform all areas of your life so that you can live a more purposeful life and a life with much greater fulfillment and meaning. You can grab a copy of this system. It's all in my free ebook, The Dad Blueprint, which is over at guildofdads.com/dad. That's guildofdads.com/dad. Now, Guild of Dads as a movement is growing. The Facebook group is growing. The podcast is growing week on week. There's more people tuning into it. And I really want to carry on that. And that is relying on more people finding out about what is going on. So if you want to get involved, join the Facebook group. It's completely free. There's a friendly bunch of guys over there who are all supporting each other and having really good conversations about how they can better themselves, improve their physical health, mental health, relationships, etc. And what would really help me gain exposure for this show is if you can leave a review. That really does help people find the show. If there are things that resonate with you, reach out to me. Just DM me on any of the social media channels that I've mentioned. Let me know what your key takeaways are on specific episodes, whether there's something that you would like me to include, whether there's something that's not been spoken about that you would like me to have a conversation with someone about. Let me know. I want you to let me know, and I want you guys to really get involved with this conversation going forward, because it really does help frame the impact that Guild of Dads can have, and it also helps you guys get involved with the conversation and actually tell me what you want to hear. So by all means, please do that. Now, in order to have a positive impact on the world, we improve ourselves and inspire others. The fee for this show is that you share it with others so that they may benefit from anything you find useful or interesting. Hopefully you find something insightful in every episode, so share with dads you know. And in the meantime, live a life of vision, action, and meaning. Apply what you hear, and we'll see you next time.